Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. We're going to be in the studio for 3 hours today, and I would love for you to join us. When I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Hi, Dave.
It really is beginning to look and feel a lot like Christmas. Oh, my goodness. It's here. We love it. And I'll tell you, a lot of great things can happen around the holidays. And so, you know, we're just, my wife and I are planning a little party for the neighborhood kids.
Aww.
And, you know, not
How
that
fun.
I love that. And really, it's the only time I get to party with people that kind of function at my level. But we love getting to do that and you know, have little craft things for them to do. And And I tell you, this year, I think more than ever, what a great year for all of us to be focused on somebody else, to be make it a giving year. So many blessings, so many things we have to be grateful for. And, you know, I've told this story so many times, but one of my best memories of my dad is at Christmas, you know, getting a box of food together, going across town, and I can still remember that horrible place these people lived, and they had one light hanging down from the center of the room, and we gave them, you know, he was a giver and he served, and it was just amazing. And I want to do that. I want to be that person, and many of you do too. And it's just, you know, don't ever feel bad if you don't have the resources, the finances to give gifts to your kids like you want to. Get them involved in giving to somebody else. It really is what it's all about. You guys have always been a great gift to me. I mean, I just count it a great privilege to get to be with you over the years. Mm-hmm. And if anybody else wants a little slice of that gift, all you got to do is pick up that phone, 1-800-229-3000. You can disguise your voice. You can use a false
change
name.
Your name.
I do it. You know, I do it all the time when I call in on my days off to the program.
Do you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it works. No one will ever suspect anything. But
so that's
yeah,
you.
Please do. And you know, if you haven't heard about this Restoration Bible, it is the CSB Restoration Bible. And it's a great, great Bible for inspiration and studies based on the acronym RESTORE. And the O stands for other-centeredness. And I'll talk about that a little more.
You're right. That's something we've really lost, I think, you know, in this me-centered society now. We've lost that other-centeredness. And the pendulum is always swinging. I think in generations past, they were maybe too focused outside of themselves, and they needed to look inward a little bit. But now we've gone to the extreme. So coming back to center would be good.
Who?
We need other people.
I mean, we know what dependency, codependency is, helping people out of neediness.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was just telling somebody the other day, that, you know, you might say that what I just did was kind of a pleasing thing, or you might say it was a giving thing. Depends on whether we're in therapy or not. And so, you know,
depends on how you frame it, right?
Yeah. All giving is not
suddenly it
becomes pleasing.
Oh,
and usually the people that are most sensitive to pleasing are folks that they have a hard time getting out of themselves and into other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what a gift when you can. I mean, that's true freedom, is when you literally want something good for somebody else and don't lose yourself in the process of giving it to them. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. It's us again. We're back. Let's go to the phones. And if you want to join us, again, it's 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to talk with, let's talk with Grace, Laredo, Texas. Hey, Grace, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, should I continue, having daily contact with my husband when he's very angry and eventually it becomes it started looking ugly in the house where the kids are involved. They start crying or whatever.
So you're separated, Grace? Is that what you're saying? You're separated from your husband?
Yes, I am. We got separated around a month ago.
Okay.
And because of decisions that he made.
You're going to need to be more specific with us.
Wait, what?
What was that last part there? Whoa, what did
you
say?
That I considered, the Word of God considers unnatural.
Okay, so what happened?
Can you tell us a little more?
What I found was like a communication on his phone where he was talking or texting back to the same sex. So okay. That was my cutoff point where I was like, okay, this is the end.
Yeah.
This is grounds for divorce.
Okay, and so what? What was his response to that then?
He said that he felt ashamed, but he doesn't really talk about it. It's something that he doesn't talk.
So,
okay.
He's not in the house, and you guys are getting a divorce? Is that what's happening?
Well, that's right now because of financial. Yes, eventually we're going to get divorced. That
okay.
was kind of like the last straw.
So what is it that you're getting angers over? What is it that's causing you guys to be angry with each other in ongoing conversations?
Well, what he says to me is that I do not have an authority over him. And so no matter what I say, that's his comeback. So if I tell him, hey, you know, I researched this and this might help you in the Word of God, read the book of Proverbs, you don't have authority over me. So
what does that mean? You guys are married and it's a partnership. Making suggestions isn't lording authority over someone.
But that's how he feels.
Okay.
Well, look.
And he's based on all feelings. Everything is what he feels. He texted me saying, I'm not worth anything. I am, I feel depressed. This is what the text is. So I continue communicating with him But at the same time, this is not helping me either. And it's kind of depressing.
Is he willing to do anything?
Is he willing to
like
do
what is what does he want? You guys are separated.
Does he recognize he has a problem?
Yeah.
He says he recognizes he has a problem. He's not very detailed on what the problem is. I'm like, I ask him, what do you think the problem is? And eventually it'll go down to me. Oh, because you did this, or you think you're holier than thou. You think you're better than me.
Okay, so he's feeling bad about himself. He's feeling bad about himself, and he's wanting to put that on you, Grace. But regardless of that, his going outside the marriage, and regardless of what, you know, gender he is soliciting, it's still going outside the marriage. And does he take responsibility for his choices that way? That he's cheating on the commitment that he made in marriage to you?
He doesn't talk about that.
Okay.
I told him that it's over, that was the last one, because he's done other stuff. He also drinks a lot. And then I told him that'll kind of like, I guess you won't be able to think straight if you're drinking, and you might do things you shouldn't.
Let me summarize where we are, and then we're going to give you some some direct advice here. You have a husband who's been unfaithful. He is looking at these dating sites. He obviously is interested not just in someone other than you, but someone of the same sex. And he has other problems and drinking problems and all of that.
We haven't been intimate for about 2 years.
Okay.
Well, I think that's a good thing, because you don't know who he's been intimate with, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you some advice, and then Jill and Dave can pile on if they want to. There's really only one thing that you should be saying to him, in my mind, okay? No more arguing or trying to make a point. There's nothing you're going to say that is going to motivate him to change. In fact, the more you talk to him, there's some gratification in that he's still attached to you. And if he can get some kind of reaction out of you, there's some kind of feeling of fulfillment for him, versus he needs to hit bottom, feel the isolation, and decide what he's going to do. So I would hope that you would say to him, you know, what you've done to us in this marriage is a very serious thing, and I would be glad to help you get help whenever you're ready. But we really don't have anything else to talk about other than when you're going to get help, how you're going to get help, and how I could be part of that if the folks you get help from think that would be helpful. It's all about him changing and getting help. Can you imagine if someone was on death row for shooting another person and they were there saying, my mother never gave me the food that I love the most? You'd say, what are you talking about? You killed a person and you're blaming it on the food that your mother served? That's the kind of thing that's happening here. He has destroyed your marriage. He's gone outside the marriage, and he's talking about little things here or there that you might have done that were upsetting to him. There is nothing that justifies anything other than getting some help or asking the other person to get help with you. If he was bothered by something, he had a choice of what he could do with that. Get help for himself, get help for you, get help for both of you. So I'm going to suggest that you need to look at why you stay engaged with a person who has betrayed you. You're not going to control him. You're not going to fix him. He needs to be left to fend for himself, experience the isolation and the brokenness. Then there's hope that he might get better. Jill, why don't you, do you have anything you want to add to this?
So I love everything that you're saying, Steve, but I would come at it not from a place of anger, Grace, because then he can justify, you know, his side of dumping everything on you. Yeah, I would come at it from a side of compassion. Your husband is highly conflicted, Grace. He's confused. He's been struggling with different emotions and feelings, and you know, now he's acting them out. And so I would acknowledge that he has a lot of hurt, he has a lot of feelings, and that he's conflicted, and that until he takes all of that and gets help, that you can't tolerate the acting out because it's so hurtful to the marriage and hurtful to you. And
well, and there's the element, too, that the more you're involved with him, the more opportunity he has to shift the conversation to your problems and to ignore his. So to make the point, as Steve and Jill said, that he's got the problem, and until he's willing to do something about it, you really have nothing to talk about is, I think, important.
Well, and I think you can say, I'm going to go get help for me.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm waiting for you to get help for you to see if there's any hope here.
Doesn't sound like there's much hope.
Mm-hmm. But there are. But at least if you put it out there, you're putting the responsibility back in his lap, Grace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think that will help you. I believe that it will help you to deal with him. I'd also encourage you to come join us January the 25th, Finding Freedom. There are a lot of people that are connected to some really unhealthy folks, and you want to know how to deal with it the best. You don't want to be taken down by the ongoing resistance or blame or whatever. And I feel for him. Oh, my goodness, what it must be like to have married you and then struggle with same-sex attraction. And for you, you want to be healthy with those kids, and I don't think arguing with him over things and letting him try to put the blame on you, I don't think that makes you healthy for the other folks who love you and want to be part of your
life. It makes him feel like he's okay for a short period of time, and then it wears off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he has to do it again. So it's a game of kick me, you know.
Well, yeah, because he does have a lot of shame.
Yeah.
And he's trying to rid himself of that.
Let's go to Chris, Kansas City, Missouri. Anybody else want to join us? It's 1-800-229-3000. That's the number. And if you want to support us here at Year End, which we so need your support, that number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm okay.
How could we help you then?
Well, I probably have a fairly common case here. I was diagnosed in the beginning of April with pancreatic cancer.
That's not so common.
Miraculously, I had operable pancreatic cancer, and so they removed 2/3 of my pancreas and my spleen and my gallbladder, and very happy to be alive. And the first 4 months after surgery, I did pretty good with it. And then some medical complications came up and some different odd, strange things, and I'll save you all the details, but it was quite remarkable, some of the things that came up, and instantly began to get anxiety. And I don't even know what an anxiety attack really is. However, it led to breathing issues. My muscles in my back got tight, and stomach aches and all that, and weight loss. So now that I'm supposed to see a mental health specialist actually this coming Thursday, and my big fear, I'm not a pill taker, and I've avoided that at all costs, trying to stay away from taking any kind of pills, but I guess maybe that's where I'm headed to try to relieve this anxiety so that I don't cause myself more medical problems.
Okay. What's the question for us, then, buddy?
Yeah, I just need your advice on that. I know I'm a Christian man. I've got a psychologist that put me, you know, gave me some hypnosis and different things. And I kind of feel like, you know, I've prayed very hard about this, and I don't know if, you know, medication is the right way to handle this or there's another way to handle it.
Okay. Let's start with Dave and get his take on what you've been through. And as I'm handing it over to him, you know, I think the impact of surgery, of you know, the mm-hmm. being put under, so to speak, I think it's never, well, it's tough. It's not, yeah. We take for granted, we just come back and everything's the same, and it's really hard. Dave, go ahead.
Well, Chris, one of the things I would do is talk to the doctor about what he wants to put you on and how long he thinks you need to be on it. If you consider the medication to be like putting a cast on a broken leg, it helps the healing. And it's not an end in itself, but it's a means to an end, to where you begin to heal and get strong enough to deal with the anxiety on your own without having to have the medication. But if he's thinking of it that way, that's one thing. If he's saying, no, you'll need to be on this for the rest of your life, that's another story. And I would then work at different ways to deal with the anxiety, because your therapist probably knows a variety of ways to deal with the anxiety. And it's anxiety is a fear that doesn't have an object. I don't know what I'm anxious about.
We'll come back right after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to turn this over to Jill. Talking with Chris, post-pancreatic...
Chris, there is nothing common about this. I mean, you survived pancreatic cancer. That's just amazing, and what a gift. But we were talking, and... you know, whenever you go through something that traumatic and then also, you know, physically to your body, it has an emotional aftermath. And we see this a lot, and some of us have experienced it post-surgery, where emotionally things are really stirred up. And it's kind of like, wow, you survived this. And now there's all this flood of fear and anxiety, you know, could be something about what could have happened, what might happen again in the future. You know, now you feel more vulnerable. And so when we feel vulnerable, mm-hmm. we get anxious and fears set in and all of that. So Dave was starting to say to you, you know, working with your therapist, there are different therapies that you can do in addition to medication, because medication alone, as we said, is never the answer. It just, I loved your analogy, Dave, of the cast. You know, it is, it's for most people, not everybody, but for a certain percentage of the population, it's a temporary cast to get you to the next place, to build your confidence so that you can handle it on
your own. Having a broken leg and saying, I don't need a cast, you know.
Right.
It'll heal on its own, or there's other ways to heal it. You use the medication as a cast, and then you take it off and go back to not having it.
Right. So some of the work now – oh, sorry, Steve.
I was just going to say it's not like an addictive chemical, you know.
No.
Once you're on it forever. It's not that
No. And they monitor that. Oh. And so then there are therapies where you can do some desensitization, but you have to explore the fears, and you have to face the fears in a safe and loving context. And so I wanted to also recommend our new workshop, Finding Freedom, because we help you do that in the context of loving and safe people who are all gathered around. Everybody has some issues they're trying to work through, and we help you discover what you're struggling with and some ways to work through it. So mm-hmm. I would highly recommend that if you're able to do that.
You know, I sometimes wonder if under anesthesia, you know, some of your routine connections in the brain that just are, you know, firing on all cylinders all the mm-hmm. time, they shut down, and it takes a while for everything to kind of crank back up. So things are more difficult, and mm-hmm. you flood with anxiety more
easily. Get overwhelmed,
easily.
Yeah,
and so you just keep moving forward, and I think there so many people have discovered that there are these medications that kind of ignite the brain again. They get it going again. They kind of jump start it, but you're not on it.
I wonder if some of his anxiety is why me? Why did I survive? Because the survival rate for pancreatic cancer is almost zero.
Right, and now the expectation.
And for you to survive it, it's like, wow. Why me? Why did I survive it? And that whole thing. I was thinking of George H.W. Bush when he survived that plane crash as a kid, as a young pilot. His whole life was around that whole thing about why did I survive and not the other guys?
Yeah.
And the obligation. And there's anxiety that's attached to that. Mm-hmm. Being able to talk with your counselor about it is a big part of the healing.
And what we want is to delay you being able to ask God why him. And so, you know, we want you to live a long life there. And so hold on. I'm going to we'll see if we can find a counselor for you. We also will see if we could get you maybe a scholarship, if at all possible, to come to Finding Freedom. Anxiety is one of the big ones that we deal with there. Anybody else, you can find out about Finding Freedom January 25th at newlife.com. Right now, I'd like to talk to Larry Sonnenberg.
Hey, Steve.
And Larry, I know you've got a pretty cool thing you want to share. I want to read something to you that came to our call center yesterday, and it said this: Steve and team, I have no question, just some feedback. I was listening to the program, and someone was brave enough to call in, and I thought his situation sounded a lot like a situation I deal with in my family. I emailed the ministry for a little advice. God was definitely working through this, because within moments of sending the email, Mary from New Life called and asked about my safety and my plan for the future and offered a few counselors. Well, after I expressed my safety and my concerns, we decided that some books from the Loving and Understanding series might help me get on solid ground. Well, within the books, I saw my whole family, myself, and there I found some tools to connect where I needed to and to disengage where I needed to. Not a cure, but a toolbox. Thank you. Here's the best part. Some friends who needed the books saw them on my table. I didn't do a lot of talking around it, but offered the books and my friends, and now they have help. And it was so important that the man called in. So important that Mary called me and advised me, and God's love ripples out in and through your ministry. I am thankful, and I'd like to remain anonymous, but I believe my story could be anyone's story. When you support us, you support somebody hearing, somebody responding, a resource sitting on tables, and you have no idea the ripple effect of that support. I wanted to share that with you. That's what supporting New Life really does. We want to be on the air just for those reasons. We love our workshops, love our clinicians, but just to be on the air so somebody could have that experience. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll go right to Larry right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and as we were saying, you never know what your support is going to do, the kind of influence or impact. And Larry had a wonderful message from somebody that's going to honor some of the very, very most valuable special givers to New Life. Talk about it, Larry.
Well, not 20 minutes ago, I had a phone call from a lady. She's a financial supporter, has been for a long time. Never met her, but talked to her many times on the phone. A sweet, sweet older woman. And she said, Larry, I want to encourage the people that don't think it's worth them giving $5 or $10 or $20 to the ministry because you know, they're going to have to pay 50 cents for a stamp, and they're going to, it's not worth it. So she said, I want to give $5,000, and if somebody gives $5 or $10 or $20, I will triple that. So their $5 will become 15, and a $10 gift becomes 30.
And
she says, those people are valuable, and they want to make a valuable contribution, but so many of them think it's just not worth it because you guys deal with so much need and so much money, but please let them know that I want to help.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
She'll do that up to $5,000 of her own money.
Here's what I know. We know God honors that $5.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we all are just responsible to give at whatever level that we can give. And here's someone coming along saying, I'm gonna make it an even greater blessing to whoever steps up at that level. I thank her so much. So $5, everybody, is 15, and 10 is 30 today. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. new life and be part of that. Larry, what else do you want to share with
well,
us?
Well, I just want to say a couple things. One is she didn't set a limit. So I'm not going to encourage people that want to give $2,000 to ask for it to be tripled, because in the spirit of her gift, she's looking for the gifts that are smaller, maybe under $100. And just call in and say you want to take advantage of this offer, this lady in Delaware.
Tell us, or whoever you talk with, you want to be part of the Triple Dog
there
campaign.
There you go. I love that.
She is tripling. I think it's wonderful. And rarely do we ever get to refer to anything as a Triple Dog blessing. But I guarantee you this, she's going to get a Triple Dog blessing. And I'll tell you, I was just calling some folks and thanking them for all that they've done for us. And, you know, they were with us on a New Life trip and on their 20th anniversary. They're going to go to Israel on the 30th. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways you can be part of the New Life family, but none more valuable than just to say, this is the level at which I can support you. Now I'm part of the giving family.
Last thing for me is Club New Life. If you can join that here at year end, that would be a blessing. $30 or more a month. And I want to kind of emphasize the Club New Life library of videos. Mylon recently did a 9-part series on repairing after a rupture in relationship. And it's a great series. The first 3 segments went up last week, end of the last week. The next 3 come up this week at the end of the week. And if you want to just learn some things about repairing a ruptured relationship, Mylon's got a great series on it, and that's one way you can get it.
He sure does. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to call if you want to join us on the program. Let's go to Terry, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Thank you, Larry Sonnenberg, for that wonderful word there. Hi there, Steve Arterburn here with Dave Stoop, Jill Hubbard. How can we help today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan, and I appreciate all the advice that you give out.
You are welcome.
My question is about my daughter and her husband. She is pretty much the breadwinner of the family. But the problem is that he doesn't really put much support in the family at all. He doesn't try to, well, one part of his problem is he's narcissistic, but he also has addiction issues where at one point he was drinking a lot. In the past year or so, his biggest addiction is video games. And so she'll go to her job and come home and he'll be playing video games. And he has these grandiose ideas about what he wants to do with his life and all this and that, but he doesn't take any steps towards any of his passions or dreams. They're just, that's what they end up being, just dreams.
Okay, and when you talk with your daughter, let me ask you this: when you talk with your daughter about it, what does she say about all that?
She's very worried and she's frustrated with him, and she'll get upset with him and angry and tell him that he needs to get a real job, and you know, he doesn't see any urgency in anything. And I mean, it's kind of gotten to the point where they are probably going to have to put their house on the market, but I don't know. I'm trying to tell her to kind of look at that in the next couple months, as if he doesn't really get a job, you know.
Have you said, honey, you guys need to be in marriage counseling? You can't handle kind of thing. On your own.
Oh, yeah. I've told them that. And I think they went to a counselor once or twice. And if he hears something he doesn't like, then he doesn't want to go back to marriage counseling.
So, Terry, let me just ask you. So prior to them getting married, did he hold a job?
She got pregnant by him when she was 18.
Okay.
And they had they didn't have much of a relationship, to be honest, but they did get together, and she ended up marrying him about 4 years ago. And she's expecting their second child in April. And she's
okay.
working hard. She's a nurse. She goes and she, you know, goes to work, and she's it's a physical job, and she's tired, and she comes home and he's playing video games, and he's taking a job as a last resort as a car salesperson, and that's supposed to start this week. But the only reason he really took the job was because they said that he could rent a car for $300 a month. And he always, you know, he always looks for a way of trying to get something out of something.
Okay. So what's the question for us?
Yeah, we get who he is.
Okay. My question is, as a parent, should I don't want to, like, for instance, I wanted to maybe offer to help pay for my granddaughter's school. She's in a private school. In the past, we've helped them in that way, but what he does is he takes advantage, instead of going and working hard and trying to earn extra money to make ends meet, he uses that and he goes and plays golf all day. He doesn't,
yeah.
I'm afraid of enabling them. I'm afraid of enabling mm-hmm. him, and
yeah.
I don't
okay.
know what to tell my daughter.
All right. So, Dave, you're stepping up to the phone here with microphone. What do you think?
Well, he's obviously an adolescent. He's about 15 years old and has no sense
That's
of responsibility,
true.
And she needs to recognize that. And then
That's
somehow...
That's 100% right.
She will... You,
okay.
And she needs to back off on, in terms of being so responsible herself.
Right.
Make room for him to step up to the plate.
It's really difficult when, you know, it's, I mean, the natural tendency, someone like this gravitates to someone who's highly responsible.
Yeah.
And then that person over-functions so that the other one can under-function.
She becomes his mother in a
yes,
sense.
Yes, that's what she's doing. She's taking care of him. Like, how does he have money to play golf?
No, yeah, and do,
well,
are you still married? Are you still married?
Am I married?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm married.
Okay. When is the last time that your husband took him to breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
He went out to breakfast with him when we were down visiting them about a month ago.
About a month ago?
I don't know. I don't know how much they talked. You know, he. I don't know how much that they talked about anything, like what was going on with
mm-hmm.
with them.
Sounds like though. He could use the input of a good man.
He needs mm-hmm. a good father figure.
Right. He See? Doesn't know how to be a man.
And rather than you talking to your daughter only, seems like your husband could really help by talking to him.
Even on the phone.
Yeah.
Do you think that a narcissist really listens to advice like that?
Sometimes.
I didn't even get a chance to talk about his... narcissistic. He's really narcissistic.
Yeah.
Well, there's degrees of narcissism, and some can...
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to send her a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissistic Personality Disorder.
Oh, that would be a great resource.
But you know, again, the answer can't always be a workshop that we do, but getting the two of them to go to our Intimacy in Marriage workshop.
No, that would be really good.
I mean, that's where people really change their relationship, whether they're a full-blown narcissist or borderline personality. We've just had
Or they have severe traits.
Yeah.
And they're just extremely immature and haven't grown up yet.
Right.
But you know one thing that's interesting, Steve, is you notice that when people do have a tendency to be narcissistic, everybody around them is focused on them and talking about them.
Yeah.
You notice that woman, she wanted to tell us every, Terry wanted to tell us, you know, everything he does. And we do get it. And her daughter, yeah, I mean, I think your idea of having the husband talk to him about being a man, and the daughter needs to not be taking care of every little thing.
Well, especially if a father-in-law can actually care about somebody like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to somebody, and they said, look, you know, maybe this person that she's with isn't the enemy, and you could develop a relationship. And he said, we're going to need the Holy Spirit on that. So I know it's not easy, but it really could be the beginning.
All and can I say one more thing?
Yes,
okay,
please.
So, and then for grandparents, because I'm always getting asked, how can grandparents help? So she's the grandparent of the children. And I think you can step in and do things that perhaps they can't do that would be in the best interest of the kids, but then not doing something that enables to make his life easier. Like, you don't want to necessarily sacrifice the kids in the process, right?
Yeah,
and
you do
don't
what you
ever
want.
Do something for the grandkids thinking that's going to produce some kind of result or change. Because let me tell you something, people that are all about themselves, everybody else has a problem but me, I'm the narcissist, they don't see it. You get no result, no response from anything you do. You just have to expect that. You have to do it because you want you want to do it.
And there's a danger in labeling people in that you then
start to think
of them in terms of that label, and it limits the opportunities you have to relate to them differently.
Yeah.
And so when you suggest that her husband build a relationship with him, don't worry about the label. Just build a relationship with him.
Let's talk to Jen. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll get to your call right after this. Jen from Russellville, Arkansas, Sirius XM. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, give you a little background. Married 26 years. The last 10 years or so, my husband has acted out unfaithfully in the marriage with several just random other females. And we recently have discovered the term sexual addiction, have found a certified therapist in our area. He's been seeing her for about 4 months. Individually, I have too, for the trauma side of it, individually. And then together, we've been going a couple of months. This is the first time that I did ask him to move out. Every time up until now, I've offered grace, forgiveness, and restoration in what I thought would be the last time that he would keep secrets. But that's continuing. He does not want to leave the marriage. He wants to stay married. I have a very deep relationship with the Lord, and I want to do what's right in God's eyes. And I'm wondering, at what point do I offer him back in the home? He thinks that we need to be together so that we can work together on our marriage face-to-face throughout the evenings and mornings. At what point? And then also, if he continues to act out, which he's had a couple of secretive things come up during the counseling time, what is my responsibility as a Christian woman? I'm just really struggling with,
it's your responsibility.
It's a responsibility
as a Christian woman to honor the institution of marriage and not let him make a mockery of something so sacred as marriage. And anything you would do, if he continues, after you've given him this grace, if he continues to act out, you are more part of the problem than he is, because you're endorsing it, enabling it, you're excusing it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So whereas somebody's going to say, oh, you've got to hang in there under... No, that's enabling. Now, tell me about the support group anonymous meetings that he's going to in addition to counseling.
There is a small SAA group, 12 Steps, that he goes to once a week.
Once a week.
It is extremely small. Yes.
And he's still doing secretive things, right?
Yes. Just to tell you what kind that is, he activated a social media account recently. Mm.
So, does his therapist know that?
Yes, she does.
Okay. Well, here's another example. If I were you, I'd be sending him to every man's battle, and then he's got all these other guys he's connected with, and a person that ran the group, more accountability, more help, because what he's doing hasn't been enough.
Right. You add things. It's like if your roof was leaking and you just put one bucket, under one drip, and the rest of the room was still leaking. You have to put as many buckets out as a person needs containing. And so if he's still leaking over and acting out, then he needs more things. And so you have to up the ante. So I think every man's battle is the next step, Jen. I mean, you've done a lot of good things.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jen,
How about extreme the 3-day weekend intensives, and then how do you feel about polygraphs for here on out?
It's a long story. We'd want him to be willing to do it, and we'd want you to not need it, because it really isn't something that's going to build what you guys need to build, and you can see real results. Whereas a guy that's invested in the sin a lot can really produce some strange results there. But let me make one point to you before we go, okay? When Jesus saw the folks making a mockery of the temple, did he say to them, "Here, let me help you make change"? No. He said...
No, he didn't.
He did not. He said... Well, he overturned the tables.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that approach now. And anything you do that enables him to continue or to try harder and all that, it's like Jesus, if he had said, "Here, let me help you make change because I love you so much." He loved them so much, and he didn't want the temple to be defrauded like that. So it's a complex thing. You can do this. He's on the right track. He just needs to be more involved in more areas of recovery.
And I think, you're seeing, Jen, that your grace that was offered wasn't enough for him, and that he's not able to make the change. He may be telling you, and he's saying, "We need to be back together." And he's thinking these things will work, but he is not able to do this on his own.
Yeah.
And to let him know that you know that he really does have a deep-seated problem that he hasn't completely gotten to yet.
Yeah. All right. Now, I'll send you a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with sexual addiction. I want you to hold on. We got to tell you about Every Man's Battle. It's coming up in January. It could change everything. If you could help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Help us. Triple dog. Somebody's going to triple whatever gift you give. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please do it today. Oh, wow. That could be incredible. And if you want to join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.